side. Oh, Nicholenko! You'll be okay!
For the new Golden Herb Schnitzel Sub from Subway.
Indeed, great to have Subway on board. Well, our guest today, the first Indigenous player to kick 400 goals, one of the game's most exciting players, and he split his time between two clubs. Started at the Demons all the way back in 1995. He played 118 games, kicked 259 goals, then went across to play for the Fremantle Dockers. Halved his career, 7 years at each, 131 games at the Dockers between 2002 and 2008, and he extended his goal-kicking tally with another 224 goals. And how about that day against Collingwood at the MCG in the year 2000? We'll get into the story, and if you've forgotten how he kicked those 9 goals, that was his best goal-kicking feat, and he just had some unbelievable moments. It made us want to go to the footy, Des. It's great to welcome the Wiz, as he was affectionately known, the Wizard, Jeff Farmer, into the studio. He's going to be donning the boots for the EJ Witten Legends game tomorrow night at Etihad Stadium. Great to see you, Jeff.
Yeah, how are you, boys? Thanks very much for having me.
Jeff, good to see you, mate. You're looking pretty fit. You ready for the game?
It's baggy clothes, mate, which is baggy clothes. Making me look like I'm in good nick. But I'm certainly looking forward to the game on Tuesday. Gratefully appreciated the invitation again to come over and play for what is a great cause, and certainly a great legacy as well.
Now, we had to get rid of the big bloke out of the studio. He wanted to hang around and talk. You're good mates with the Ox when you went around?
Yeah, we played a few years together, and certainly went up, had some ups and downs along the way at the Melbourne Football Club, but certainly one of my dear friends and forward line teammates in particular as well, and certainly looked after me when I was down there.
38. He doesn't look 38.
No.
Passed for about 28. And got 4 kids, and I believe. How old's your oldest kid?
Yeah, I've got 3 to a previous 20, 18 and 13. That's Shontaine, Jeff Jr. and Kobe. And my partner of the last 5 years, Shannon, we have a baby boy who was born a year ago, and that's young Keanu.
So 3 boys? So 3
well,
boys?
Yeah, 3 boys. So.
Footballing prowess, what are the...
I've sort of tried to coax them into playing. My older son, he's about six foot one.
Wow.
He dabbled a little bit with the footy, but he's chosen his friends and...
life.
everything else but football. Kobe, on the other hand, is applying his trade in the under-13s. I don't want to put any pressure on him.
You called him Kobe after Kobe Bryant?
I did, yeah. So
you didn't want to put
everyone's almost named after someone famous. So, he's going along well, and certainly have enjoyed his improvement over the last couple of years. So he looks a pretty handy player, and Keanu's only one, so he's still going to.
He's got time. He's got time to develop.
A while away, yeah. He may not even. Know that his father actually played AFL football.
So living over in Perth, Jeff, what are you up to over there? What occupies your time?
We over in the West, we've been pretty fortunate with the mining boom of late. I've managed to get a few jobs in the construction side of things over there. For the last 5 years, I've done the FIFO experience, but also been lucky enough to be able to stay home in the metro area and also work, about 30, 40 minutes away from home, which has been great. I've enjoyed it. Obviously you meet a lot of people from all different parts of Australia and also the world as well. And, the common goal was to come together and build, gas plants, all that sort of stuff, and, help the economy along in the West and then obviously Australia as well.
Beautiful part of the world. Go there a fair bit for SEN footy. Always enjoy the 4-hour trip over to Perth, Des.
It's great over in Perth.
Maybe the red eye back, but...
No, the red eye doesn't. You're not playing at all? Anything at the moment? Are you
no, mate.
Around?
I tried to have a run about 2 years ago, and just due to work commitments as well, it made it a little bit difficult. I'd play on a Saturday, for example, and it would almost take, Wednesday to actually be able to walk without any soreness. So the mind is a powerful weapon that can trick you into thinking that, you can still play the game, and these young guys aren't getting any slower and there aren't any weaker as well. So, there's strength and strength, and, you know, sadly, I decided to listen to the body more than the mind, and you know, through well, hung up the boots 2 years ago. But certainly, very happy and glad to you know, to put the boots on, you know, for charity in particular.
Just on EJ, before we look back on your career, did you ever get a chance to meet him?
Yeah, I did. I was lucky enough. I told this story the other day. We had a Norwich Rising Star sort of function, luncheon at the MCG, and he happened to be there that day. And I tell the story about how, you know, you realise and understand how passionate of a person he is, in particular with the Western Bulldogs, or Footscray back then, and also as a Victorian as well. I managed to shake his hand and his grip, his hand, and then also he almost, with a handshake, pulled my arm out of socket. So I certainly do remember him, and he's left, you know, a fond memory of, you know, when I actually did cross paths with him.
A few on that list, Des.
Yeah, I think there was a lot who did shoulder ligaments of some sort, just saying hello to Teddy. But you learned at the end to go with it, or just you had to give a little bit. But it was funny to see people shake his hand for the first time. Well, take us back to your childhood, growing up, and do you remember your first memories of having a kick?
Yeah, I grew up in a small country town called Tamblup. It's a farming community of, you know, probably 300 to maybe 500 people. Learnt my craft there by playing against cousins and also in the local under-13s. We ended up moving away as a 10-year-old to Mandurah in, I think, 87. Lived there, still played football. As I ended up getting about 13, 14 years of age, you know, one of my greatest highlights football-wise is the opportunity of being able to play with my father and his brothers as a 13-year-old. Cool. In the seniors, I'd travel down to Tamblup with him on the Friday night, play on the Saturday and the Sunday when the games are on, and then travel back up, go to school during the week, and do it all again the next week. So from that perspective, it just, you know, drove the hunger to maybe one day want to play AFL football. It was always a dream, which ended up becoming reality at the end of 94. I'd played schoolboys in Teal Cup football for WA as well. Fremantle were coming in at the time and had priority picked over, you know, pretty much all the young players of that year. And I had a couple of teams that were interested, but Melbourne were their actual first to actually come over, arrange a meeting, to which Neil Baum and the football manager at the time, Richard Griffiths, came over. I pretended to play hardball with the poker face on, and you know, they pretty much put a contract in front of me, and my dad at the time was my very first manager. I joke around with him that he sold me cheaply, to which he turns around and says, yeah, but if I didn't, you would never have a footy career. So, you know, I was very grateful that the club came over. Phil Gilbert at the time wanted to go back to the West. He was tied to Melbourne, and pretty much a trade was made, to which I came over, I think, in October to start pre-season. And, you know, the guys that I was actually watching, you know, playing the finals against West Coast Eagles in the prelim, you know, I was actually now running alongside. Yeah. So your Gary Lyons, Todd Viney's, Swarters, you know, Neats, all these types of blokes that, you know, not too long ago you're only just watching on TV. You're actually rubbing shoulders with these guys, you know, so I was pretty humble.
The period after that, though, became just a little bit tougher, didn't it? Because Barmy lasted another couple of seasons, and unfortunately he got the axe, and Greg Hutchison came in, and of course Neil Danaher coached the club for the next 10 years. But you came in after that 94 final series where they lit it up, but that next period when you came in was a bit tougher.
Yeah, they, you know, they had a great year, and I'm pretty sure they had high expectations for the upcoming season. But sadly, a lot of injuries to a lot of the crucial players, which, you know, also opened the door for young kids like myself and Adam Uze to get a chance to play a couple of games during the year. Yeah, we went through, you know, the merger talks at one stage. You know, Joseph Goodnick, you know, came in, pretty much helped save the football club, also threw in a lot of his own money as well, and, you know, certainly be very grateful for him in doing what he did. But yeah, it was a little bit of a roller coaster ride. You know, we went, I think 97, we finished the bottom of the ladder, I think. Neil Danaher came on board, Jeff White, Jamie Shanahan, I think was another guy we managed to get over to the football club. And, you know, 98, we made it to a prelim against North after having a great final series, and, you know, it sort of dipped, you know, and then sort of we climbed up in 2000 to make it to a grand final.
Our special guest is Jeff Farmer, 249-game career, 483 goals, and we were touching on the early part of your career at Melbourne, post Neil Baum, Greg Hutchison, little short caretaker stint, then Neil Danaher comes in for a decade, and you had him for 2 or 3 years before you went across to Fremantle. Do you still have any contact with Neil and just what he's going through, Jeff? I mean, the Melbourne players have certainly rallied, and like the whole footy world has, haven't they, just to support
much,
him?
Pretty much, mate, you know. And I mean, the last time I spoke and seen Neil was 2009, you know, and everything was all good. You know, still functioned normally and everything like that. And then all of a sudden I see him, you know, a couple of years later on TV, and it certainly tugs at your heartstrings, you know, to see, you know, such a great person who had a great influence over, you know, not just the Melbourne Football Club, but the players in general as well, you know. I remember when he first came to the club, you know, he put everyone on notice that, you know, it didn't matter whether you played one game, 100 games, your reputation, it didn't matter. You know, and then everyone was starting from scratch, and you were going to end up having to learn and earn his respect along the way. And, you know, I got a big wake-up call when we played Sydney over in New Zealand. And
I think Ox has told me about this.
Nita sort of touched on it, but he hasn't really gone into graphic detail. And
give us the graphic detail.
Pretty
Jeff.
Much, mate. I wasn't playing too well, and there's a couple of tackles that I've just missed, and it's one of those ones where you predict the player to go one way, and he's balked you, and he's gone the other way, and you've sort of reached out and managed to grab his jumper, but haven't been able to hold on and stop him with a tackle. I've come in. And I'm sitting directly opposite of the steps of where we come into the change rooms. And Neil's come in. I'm leaning against the wall, feeling sorry for myself. And all I hear is a bang. And he's throwing his pad on the his folder on the ground. And he's it felt like it may have only been a couple of seconds, but the word wizard seemed to stretch for at least 5 minutes. And he's going, wizard. And he's still going, wizard. You missed two tackles, but you're going all right. And then he's moved on to Nita, and David Nita at the time couldn't pretty much get anywhere near the ball, or in particular take any marks. Sean Smith has just come on and taken a couple of grabs, and Twitchy's turn on, Nita, you got to give us something. Obviously, this is a clean version, you got to give us something.
We can insert the missing words. Yeah. Where did Wizard come from?
There was a recruiting officer for Melbourne, Bernie Dunn, who was the WA recruiting officer. He had come and watched, which was meant to be, I think, Damien or Darren Gasper at South Fremantle. I had actually come up and played in the same game, to which the report apparently was written and said that I was just all over the field and popping up here and there like a wizard. When I'd come over for the pre-season, there was a little bit of an article in the paper, and the same word, the wizard, and the little bit with what the recruiting officer Bernie Dunn had written made its way in the paper, and Gary Lyon got wind of it, and he started calling me the wizard. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, yeah, who's the wizard? And pretty much it stuck from then on. You know, and I've always been pretty happy with a nickname.
Yeah,
get any better than that one?
There's
anyway.
A lot worse than that.
I have been called a lot worse than that. So I'd rather the wizard.
How did you adjust? You're a kid from the bush, as you said. You end up in Melbourne at one of the biggest clubs in the game. And, you know, we hear a lot about young Indigenous kids who just struggle. How did you go early on? Because apparently you were very shy to start off with.
Yeah, Oh, I'd always give the 1-2-word answers, you know. Oh, how, Gary Lineham, how you going, mate? Good. He was like, I can't get any words out of this bloke. What's going on? Is he a Muppet or something? But, look, I always found it a little bit difficult, in particular when I first came over. I had my mum and dad come and stay and sort of help me settle. But they went home. It made it a little bit easy settling because I got to get to know the boys a lot better. They sort of became my family. But, you know, any chance that I got to go home, it found it tough to come back. But then also, you know, sometimes you're going through some tough times, you know, with football and all this sort of stuff, you start thinking about, oh, I want to go home.
You're a long way away, actually.
And exactly. It's not like you can just jump in the car and go 5 minutes and see your family, you know. It's a decent trek. So it was always difficult, and, yeah, I'm certainly no stranger to it. There's a lot of other guys who, you know, found it difficult of being close-knitted, a community side with their family. You know, the bond is very, very strong with Indigenous people, and it's also very hard when you do decide to go to the other side of Australia to play football or whatever it else is. You know, you always think about home, you always think about your family, and then, you know, sometimes you always do wish, oh, I wouldn't mind going back home.
Yeah.
Jeff Farmer, our special guest here on JYB. It's good listening, getting some good responses on the SMS as well. I want to go to the year 2000. Great year, 76 goals, all Australian. But there's one game, Jeff, at the MCG, where you kicked your biggest score of 9. And for those that can't rewind all the way back, and I actually went back and watched a few clips this morning, all that 9 came in the second half.
Second half,
that is,
yeah,
phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I couldn't even
take
get
us
it
back.
Yeah, well, obviously had more kicks in the warm-up than what I did in the first half, and pretty much wasn't playing well, got taken off, sat on the pine, and then after half-time, the third quarter, Ben Beams, who'd been playing well at that stage, had actually broken his arm. He came off, and, you know, obviously if it wasn't for him breaking his arm, I probably would have been still sitting on the bench.
Mm.
And it was just one of those games where, you know, you seem to be in the right place at the right time. The ball seemed to fall in your lap, in your arms. You know, it's just one of those games that any footballer would love to have happen, and, you know, sometimes only dream, and it actually came real. And we,
so what was the split? Third quarter? How many did you kick in the third? You remember?
It's three in the third, and then
six in the last.
So, yeah, 9 goals altogether. You know, I wish I'd have been able to do that over 4 quarters. But it's a special moment, mate. And there's, you know, a lot more special moments. You know, over my whole football career, and certainly a lot of special moments with the Melbourne Football Club.
And did you cop a lot from other blokes? You were pretty volatile at times, and that seemed to be, other teams seemed to think, well, they'd unsettle you. Did you cop a fair bit, racial abuse and stuff?
No, not really. I was pretty lucky from that point of view, as in with opposition players. Obviously, the crowd, you know, you can't control or stop what they say and what they do. So I try not to venture too close to the boundary line or the fence. And I think just, you know, I was very energetic, very passionate, you know, and obviously, you know, sometimes the close attention did seem to ruffle my feathers a little bit.
Who annoyed you the most?
Oh, look, mate, they all did their best. They all did a great job too, because...
Who sucked you in?
Oh, well, I played on Tony Liberatore once.
Well, that goes without saying.
But, I had a lot of tough battles with a lot of, you know, a lot of quality defenders. You know, very rarely did I ever play on, you know, a defender that wasn't, you know, as good as. It was always the very best small forward or even sometimes, you know, the best defender in the opposition team. It was, you know, I played on the Wanganeens and McLeods, the Crawfords, for example, and many more great players. Peter Materia was another one that springs to mind. You know, and it was always a great battle, always a great contest. You knew you were, you're going to be having to be on your game to at least get a kick. And, you know, I look back, you know, very fond memories, you know, of opportunities playing against some of the greatest players that have ever played this game.
Jeff Farmer, the former Melbourne Wizard, as he was affectionately called, went across to the Dockers and played some great footy. We'll get on to Freo very shortly. There's a little bit more on the D's, and just a couple very quickly on the SMS. Jeff Farmer's mark over Gary Lyon in the 98 prelim v. the Kangaroos was phenomenal, and I'm a Kangaroos supporter. And can you ask Jeff Craig at Campbellfield, did you ever play on, you would have played on Dustin Fletcher?
Yeah, I did.
Back in the day? What was that like? Still going?
He's still going to this day, so he's done really well. He was a very tough opponent. Obviously, he was tall. Still pretty quick as well. My tactic against him was just hoping a teammate would kick the ball at least out in front, maybe bounce if anything. It seemed as though whenever I managed to get a bit of a break on him. And the ball was kicked. By the time I managed to get my arm there, his hand was already punching the ball away. You know, he was just so gangly, and he stood the test of time. You know, had a wonderful career as well, and certainly one of the hardest guys I've had to play against.
Talk us through that, Mark, because Gary Lyon still lives off it, but
and he still blames me for hurting his back as well. So it was against Richmond, and Anthony McDonald was coming down the wing, and he just so happened to kick the ball up, and Gary Lyon, for some great reason, always seemed to find himself in the right spot at the wrong time. And I was lucky enough to be able to get a ride, and more importantly, hold the footy as well. So,
and they used to tell you to go for your marks, like if you're in the position where you thought you could go for it.
Yeah, pretty much just to back myself. I've sort of said in the past, I was never an arrogant person, but I was very confident in my own ability, and the coaching staff always, made sure I did stick to the rules of the team, but also gave me a little bit of free rein as well to be able to back myself and, take opposition players on. That's when I played my best football, is when I was able to be free and go about my business.
What'd you win for that?
I didn't win anything. It was Winston Abraham ended up winning.
Oh, Winnie win it.
Yeah,
oh, of course he did,
jumped
too.
On someone's shoulders in Canberra.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of controversy. Some said you should have won it.
Yeah, well, there was... I think Peter Zusto had won the goal of the year and mark of the year, and I was sort of touted as, I'll more than likely do the same, because I ended up winning the goal of the year for the goal against Hawthorn out at Waverley.
Another great West Australian too, the Buzz.
Yes, he's doing well for himself as well. I see him over there every now and then. Loves to talk football, in particular Carlton. It's a great moment. Obviously, Gary Lyon, I think. Sean Smith is another one that...
Canberra moment.
Well, it was up in Brisbane.
Brisbane,
I was
there
at that game, and I've seen it, and to this day, it's still one of the greatest marks I've ever seen.
It's incredibly high,
he
wasn't
stood...
It?
Was that on top of Gary Lyon?
On Gary Lyon again. Russell Robinson stood on Gary Lyon as well, so...
you had some great characters at the club during your time, because obviously the late, great Jimmy Steins and those guys, were you... did they embrace you, the guys, and really sort of take you on as a bit of a brother role?
Yeah, they did, mate. I mean, look, Gary Lyon was probably the most influential for me and helped me a lot. He was pretty much like a father figure at the football club. David Neitz and also Swarter as well, in particular, the guys in the forward line really looked after me and took me under their wing. Jim Steins, a very, very humble man, a very caring. My family, also like myself and many other people that had the opportunity of getting to know Jim, were certainly very upset and certainly very devastated as well when they found out that Jim Steins passed away. He always went out of his way. When we played at Subiaco, I'd have... 20 to 30 family members come and watch the game, and he made sure he'd get over, have a conversation with my family, give them the time of day, and certainly made sure that they were taken care of and looked after. And that's one of the great things that I will always cherish and remember about Jim is, what a beautiful man he was.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, a tough year, isn't it, with, you know, he and Sean White, and now what Neil Danaher's going through. You don't wish it upon anyone. Let's move ahead to Fremantle. Take us back. I'm just trying to recall, you know, the move. You've got to a stage where you played 118 games at the Demons. Tell us the conversation that's transpired to see you head back home to Perth.
Yeah, I still had a year to run on my contract. In 2000, my grandmother had a heart attack. And I found it difficult to come to terms with being so far away and not being able to go and see her, to rush to the hospital to go and see her. You know, I spoke to some people at the football club at the time. I was injured, wasn't going to play. I think it was against Carlton. And, you know, the guys were just saying, oh, look, if you can hold out until the weekend, we'll definitely let you go. I understood, but at the same time, you know, I love my family more than I love football.
Yeah.
And, you know, I decided then that, you know, no matter what happened the next year, contract-wise, I was going to be going home. I met with Neil Danaher and Danny Corcoran in 2001, and pretty much had a contract in front of me, wanting me to sign back up with the football club, to which I turned around and said, look, and they even asked me, look, what do you want? And I said, look, I don't want anything. I don't want money. You know, I want to go home.
Mm.
It was a tough decision. Two of the toughest decisions I've ever made, you know, was leaving my family to begin with to come over to Melbourne, and then obviously leaving my football family to go back home to my real family. I left 2001, bound for Fremantle. Chris Connolly was a coach. Peter Bell.
At the same time, he was appointed the year you started.
So Peter Bell was there the previous year. Trent Crowd also came across, and pretty much we sort of came from the ground up, having to try and convince sponsors, supporters to join up. You know, sometimes going above and beyond of, you know, what was asked of us to try and promote the football club. You know, we went from leaps and bounds off the football field. We had plenty of potential on the football field with the names of the players that we had, but sadly just couldn't put it together. But it's great to see the football club now one of the powerhouses in the old AFL and certainly in WA.
Some good stuff coming through on the SMS as well. What a breath of fresh air listening to such an honest interview. G'day, guys. Fantastic listening to the Wizard. Guest, a great speaker, and as a Carlton supporter, absolutely loved the way he played. And Daniel was just posing one about Tony Modra, who I think is on tonight on Open Mic on Fox. Did you play with Tony?
No, I missed out. He retired the year before I came. Certainly another guy that's held in high regard. Came over, did his bit for the football club as well. So
I think he's been chasing him for a while, Mike. He's a hard man to catch, Tony Modra. We're just talking about Fremantle, obviously. Chris Connolly comes in and you make a prelim under his reign. Gee, and so close to getting to a grand final, that game at ANZ Stadium. And just take us through, Chris. I spent a bit of time with him at Melbourne Airport. There's the media team, different outlets going across to cover the Anzac Day game, and what a storyteller. And you could see in talking to Chris what sort of effect he'd have as a coach, as a guy who could really galvanise a group. And that was his first appointment, and he made a pretty good fist of it. I mean, probably didn't end the way he would have liked it, but Fremantle certainly, I suppose, stood up as a footy club and gained a bit more credit, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said before, I mean, he, on and off the field, pretty much, you know, did everything possible to try and get the football club up and going. And certainly, you know, on the football field, he gave his all as a coach, protected and looked after his players as well, especially over there where it's, you know, two-team town. Sometimes the media can be a little bit harsh sometimes without actually knowing exactly what's really going on in the inside of the football club. He managed to help the football club to our first final in 2003. We played Essendon in a elimination final. You know, it was great. It was home in front of our crowd, 30,000 people. The 06 prelim against Sydney, You look back as, you know, as another opportunity that got away from us. Sydney played a wonderful game that night, and we were just unfortunate not being able to, whenever we got a goal, you know, to try and make it just under a goal, you know, they managed to kick another one to give them the breathing space. And I was just saying off air before, we actually went and watched them play West Coast Eagles in the grand final. And, you know, it seemed, you know, not taking anything away from West Coast and the game that they played, but it seemed as though Sydney had played their grand final the week against us. You know, they couldn't do anything wrong, and we couldn't do anything right to try and win the game. And, you know, they go on to play in the grand final and have another, you know, fantastic contest with West Coast.
Yep.
And
one point again,
you know. Yep. And grand finals are hard to get to, and they're hard to win as well. So
absolutely.
Very, very jealous and very, very envious of both clubs.
Well, the Wizard, Des, our very special guest this afternoon.
And in the EJ Witten game, you have the full JYB imprimatur. If you get a chance to stand on anyone's head, Jeffrey, you do it, mate. You go for it. We want to see something special. Just one. You don't have to do anything else.
I'd love to say, well, hopefully I can use my hands, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to get on anyone's shoulders nowadays.
Use it, take a ladder.
I might sadly actually have to pay for a physio bill as well,
well,
I do actually land on anyone.
What's the prep, mate? Bit of carbs tonight?
Yeah, well, I've been training. The people say, well, are you in shape? I said, yes, I'm round.
A-shape, that's a shape.
Exactly. But nah, look, you know, it's a great concept. I'm rapt to be a part of, you know, the night in general. 20 years, you know, I've been told that there's a Vic Metro, Vic Country women's game beforehand.
Yep.
Some entertainment as well. So, you know, make sure,
Get
down there, bring your family.
Absolutely.
Tickets at the gate. Enjoy the game. 6:30. Yeah, exactly. It's a great night. And obviously a great cause as well.
Great stuff. Great to spend some time with you. You gave us some great highlights on the footy
field.
And look forward to tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
Jeff Farmer, the Wizard, our very special guest.